We'll turn it then this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, and that portion of God's Word we read earlier. I'm sure as we read these verses, we would have been struck by really quite harshly the Lord Jesus speaks to these scribes and Pharisees. The language that he uses is very strong. And he speaks of them, doesn't he, a number of times in these verses as hypocrites. It's, oh, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. 7 times he calls them hypocrites. He calls them fools. He calls them blind. He calls them fools and blind. And, of course, he comes to the end of that passage and he calls them serpents. And a generation of vipers, an offspring of serpents, that they are clearly those who are of their father, the devil. And these are strong words and solemn words. But here, of course, as they're recorded in Scripture for us, they're for us as well to take to heart, because none of us would want the Lord to speak to us in that way. None of us would want the Lord to describe us as hypocrites, or to describe us as being fools and blind. And, of course, as those who profess to be the Lord's, those of us who say that we're the Lord's people, here with these Pharisees, they made that profession that they were the Lord's people. They sat in Moses' seat, they led the people in their religious devotions and lives. And here we are today, those of us who know and love the Lord would claim likewise to be followers of the Lord. And to think that the Lord and his assessment of us might be like his assessment of the Pharisees would be very solemn and a dreadful prospect. And so we need to consider something of what it is that the Lord is saying to these Pharisees, and something of his concern over what they were doing and their lives and their teaching. And as you go down through the verses, and I don't want to go through all these verses in detail, but you can see something of the broad areas of their lives that the Lord was dealing with. We saw something there earlier on where he talked about their pride. You know, talked about them loving the uppermost rooms, loving to be noted, loving the names that they were given, to be called rabbi and master and father. And these are things that humanly speaking, people like. People like the praise of man. We like to be well thought of. And here's the Lord. He deals with them very, very solemnly over these things. And he deals with their pride. He talks, of course, much of their hypocrisy. You see that repeated so many times. And there was a pretense in their lives. Things, they said one thing, but did another. And sometimes, perhaps, we can be like that. We can speak, talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? Is there that evidence in our lives that we mean what we say, that we are indeed those who are the Lord's people? And here they were. They would say one thing. They'd lay these great burdens on the people. But they didn't fulfill them themselves. And then we see something of how the Lord talked to them about how they would perhaps twist and distort the Word of God and excuse behavior that is condemned by the Word of God and make excuses for perhaps what today we call perhaps little sins and say, well, it's excusable, it's understandable. And they draw these fine, foolish distinctions between swearing by the gift of the altar, or swearing by the altar, or swearing by the temple and not by God's name, and all these little distinctions they drew here. But really they're playing fast and loose with the Word of God and doing things that are pleasing to themselves and excusing people's behaviour and their own, of course. And then, of course, we saw, didn't we, how they paid that undue attention to the little minutiae, the little details of God's law, and left undone the important things, the serious things, and how they were taken up with all the little details, and of course their own particular requirements they laid upon people, but neglected really all the weighty things of the law of God. And so this summary of the Lord's description is so graphic, isn't it? When you get to the end of that passage and we can visualize what the Lord is saying. He says you're like whited sepulchres, like graves, painted white, beautiful on the outside, inside for a dead man's bones. And we can picture that, can't we? And he says, and that's what you look like to God. And to think that we might in some sense be like that, is something that should fill us with that concern that we should indeed be right before God and be those who would bring God's pleasure and his smile upon us rather than such harsh and solemn words. And he gets to the end of that passage in verse 33 and he says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And really, this is the underlying thought, because all those comments on their behaviour and their lives and their teachings, at the end of the day, it comes down to this question: how can you escape from the damnation of hell? And here were they, living their lives in the way that they live, thinking that would mean that they were right before God, and that they could escape the damnation of hell. But here's the Lord Jesus asking this question. He asks us today, he says, how can you escape the damnation of hell? That's what the whole purpose of this great gospel message is. What is the message? How do we escape? He says, naturally speaking, we are those who are destined for the judgment of God. How can you escape? Well, the answer is really found in one of the verses here in the passage that's our verse for today. It's verse 23, where you find that the Lord himself draws attention to what they were neglecting. He says, "Ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." See, all those other things that they said and they did and they talked about, he says, but you've omitted these things, the weightier things of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the Son of God himself says to us that these are the weighty things that are not to be omitted, then clearly this is directing us to pay heed to these things ourselves. We should be those who say, well, here are the things that Jesus wants us to pay heed to. These are the things he wants us to hear about. These are the things that he wants us to dwell upon and understand and grasp and not be distracted by all these other things and all these man-made things that are brought in. And this is what the Lord is saying here. He says that so often we can follow man's teachings and we can follow man-made religion and follow the things that please men. But these are the things that please God. These are the things that God has drawn to our attention. These are weighty things. They're weighty. They're substantial. They're serious. They're important. These are the things that deal with our never-dying souls. These are the things that answer this question: how can you escape the damnation of hell? And these individual, these little things, these things that the Pharisees paid so much attention to, they can't do it. We need weighty things. We need things of substance. We need the things that God teaches, that God sets before us. These are the things that the Lord Jesus says. Now then, he says, these are the ones that need to be paid heed to. So let's consider then these four things that the Lord Jesus sets before us. We're to pay heed to the weighty matter of the law. Of the law. He begins with the law. The law of God. It's not what man thinks of us that is important. You know, we live at a time, don't we, where people, they do that which is right in their own eyes. That which was said at the time of the judges is certainly true of the society and time in which we live now. Morals, what are they defined by? Well, whatever the majority says. Or whatever feels right to you. Or your own moral code. Or the standards of your society. But God says, he has a law. It's God's law. It's his standard. It's his holy standard that we're to pay heed to. It's not man's law. It's not our own moral code. It's not what society thinks. It's not what the majority thinks. And sadly, that's one of the disadvantages of a democratic society, because they say, well, it's what the majority thinks that is what's important and what matters. And here's God saying, here's what's important, the weighty matter of the law, his law, a holy law, the law of God. And it's no good us saying, well, I've lived according to my law. Or I've lived according to what the majority of people around me think. Or that society thinks. God says, what does he say? What's his verdict? What's his law? And of course, remember, don't we, that the scripture set before us, don't we, the moral law, we call it, the Ten Commandments. There, in those lovely succinct headings over these 10 categories that cover all those aspects of our lives, our relationships with one another, our relationships with God. And the Lord Jesus summarized those, didn't he? Those so well-known summaries of the law of God. What are they summarized in? First and foremost, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first and great commandment, the Lord said. Here's the Lord of God. Do we love Him? Do we love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, with every iota of our energy and thought and every aspect of our lives governed by that desire to love Him, to keep His commandments, to honour Him above all, to honour His name, to worship Him alone, all those commandments that set those aspects of God's law before us, to speak of how He's to have that foremost place in our lives. This is the law of God. And then He moves on to the second table of the Lord, doesn't He? And He speaks of how we're to love our neighbours as ourselves, to love one another, which with those that have that love for others. And humanly speaking, we're not like that. And we're found faltering, aren't we, and failing. We're those who put ourselves first. We love self, but we don't love others. We're selfish, self-centred, and proud. And all those things that we saw in that brief overview of the Pharisees and the Lord speaking of them, that those are things that are conjured up here. And these things, did they love God with all their hearts and soul and mind and strength? Did they love their neighbours with all that same energy with which they loved themselves? No, they were fine faltering. And here's the Lord setting this before us. This is His law, His commandments, a holy commandment, perfect set of commandments. And those things that we're to set ourselves against. How do